Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
I think we're feeling a little breath of fresh air. I know that I am, and that spurred me to write this message today. And I want to read to you from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. But let me tell you something about Isaiah. Isaiah wrote his book 700 years before Christ was born. 700 years before Christ was born. And it reads like a gospel. Isaiah had this spirit about him that only God can give. That is a spirit that he could see the world for what it was. There are so many people that are blinded today. They're living in this world and they don't even know what's going on. They don't get it. They don't see it. Isaiah could see what was going on in the very moment that he was living. He had sight. But Isaiah had something else that God gave him. He had insight. That means that he understood what was happening. Not only could he see it, but he understood it. And he had foresight. He could foresee the outcome of what was going on. And Isaiah wrote these things down as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write them down. This is the Isaiah that said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. That was a bad time. The king was dead. I don't know about you, but the closest thing that I can remember is when John Kennedy was killed. People were crying everywhere. The airports. They couldn't believe it. The president was dead. But think about how the country was feeling when King Uzziah died. And you know what Isaiah said? In those darkest of times, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. In the hardest times, the darkest times, I saw him. And he brought peace. Isaiah said in chapter 6, verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone. Isaiah knew how to look at himself and look in the mirror and say, I'm not living right. He said, because I am a man of unclean lips. Now, I don't know what he was talking about. Maybe he was gossiping. Maybe he just had a tongue that was just a little sharp. But he said, I don't want to be this guy. I don't want to use this language. I don't want to be this man with the unclean tongue. And he said, you know why? Because I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He said, I've got to separate myself. I've got to quit hanging around with that group that's talking like that. I've got to quit hanging around with those that are complaining all the time, gossiping all the time, criticizing all the time, judging all the time. 700 years before Christ was born, Isaiah wrote this. He said in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, speaking of Jesus Christ. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He said, I have learned something during these hard times. Isaiah 53:4. He has borne our griefs. Speaking of Jesus Christ, 700 years before Jesus Christ. and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Y'all thought that was in the New Testament, didn't you? There were 700 years before Christ was born. For unto us, chapter 9, verse 6, a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Isaiah wrapped that up and threw it 700 years in advance, and John the Baptist caught it, and Jesus walked up and he said, Behold, the Son of God taketh away the sins of the world. Isaiah knew where he was. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew why. Because he was a spiritual man. God can give that same spirit to you. And I'm going to tell you something this morning that God showed me. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1 says this, The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. You ever been in a desert? I was in Phoenix, Arizona a couple weeks ago. I can tell you right now, I don't like deserts. It was 76 during the daytime and 43 at night. I didn't know if I needed to take my shirt off or put on a coat. There was no humidity. There wasn't anything alive out in that desert. I didn't like it. There was nothing, but you look out and all you could see is brown. If you look at the Sahara Desert, for miles and miles and miles and miles, there is nothing. They said in the daytime in the Sahara Desert, it's 110, and at night it's freezing. That the Roman soldiers, when they were building cities there, that the only way they could come home is if they lost an eye. And they would pluck their eyes out in order to get out of that desert. Desert is not a good place to be. Desert is not a good place to stay. And I'll tell you something, Heritage, we've been in a desert for 2 years. It hit us broadsided. We didn't see it coming. We thought it would be over in a month or two, and here we are 2 years. Still hearing of people coming down with a sickness, people still dying, but things are changing. The numbers have dropped off by over more than half. People aren't dying at the rate they were. I mean, it's dropped off to almost like the flu. We're planning on going back to one service at 10 o'clock. I hope that that only lasts for a while, Michael, that we have to go to two because we got too many people. I look out here today and I think, we could fill this. Just as sure as Isaiah said that the desert will bloom again, Heritage will bloom again, because I know where we're at. Our offerings went up several thousand dollars from the year before, last year. Our online giving went past $100,000 this year. Thank you, folks, and those of you who have set that up. If you haven't set that up, call Jackie. She'll set it up for you. Or call Mary. She'll set you up with Jackie. You say, well, preacher, how are we financially? We would be good, but we had to buy three furnaces and put a roof on this year. So it hit us. So everything that seemed that could go wrong went wrong. But God doesn't take us to a desert to leave us there. We're his people. He takes us to a desert so that we can learn something. And I can tell you this, as your pastor, I've learned a lot. And here's what I know about God and deserts. There was a young man that God called out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he told him, I want you to go, and I want you to settle in a land which is now called Israel. His name was Abraham. And he promised Abraham that I will make your seed as the sands of the sea. And Abraham moved. He took his wife, his nephew, and off he went with his camels and high hopes. The problem was no children. It's a desert. But God had promised, but no children. So Sarah getting up about 70-some years old, she said, Abraham, you need to have kids. Why don't you take my handmaiden Hagar? And he did. Outside of the will of God, because God didn't come through when he wanted him to, he was going to do it his own way. Then Sarah became pregnant, 90 years old. Boy, that'll scare you. You say, preacher, you believe that? You better believe I do. I serve a big God. I serve a God that raises up the deserts. She had a child, Isaac. As Isaac started to grow, she said, you got to get rid of Hagar and that other boy. I don't want him around here. I'm sure Abraham thought, but it's your idea. But he got rid of them. They ended up in the desert. And she cried, and Hagar said, Lord, what am I going to do? Here I am, I have nothing. Well, we know what happened. Here we are some over 3,000, almost 4,000 years later, and those two brothers are still fighting. That's what's going on in the Middle East. They're still fighting. Because God kept his promise to Abraham, and God was always going to keep his promise to Abraham. But Abraham went through another desert. God said, I want you to take Isaac up on the mountain. I want you to sacrifice him. Now, I don't know if any of you have a son, but I have a son. And if I took him up on a mountain, laid him on an altar, and lifted up a knife, he'd kill me. My son wouldn't stand for that. And yours probably wouldn't either. But see, Isaac laid down on that altar. And you say, well, God wanted to make sure that Abraham loved him. No, he didn't. God knew Abraham loved him. Abraham didn't know how much he loved God. This was to prove to Abraham who God was, not to prove to God who Abraham was. God knew his mind, his heart. God knew everything about him. He knew the number of hairs on his head. So here Abraham was all tied up in the sun, and he comes up and God said, you got to see who's first. And when Abraham got into that desert land, he found out and he looked down and he said, I do believe you, God, and I will follow you. And God said, there's a lamb without spot or blemish. I've already prepared it for you. Have you ever got to a place where you don't know where to go and you don't know where to turn and it's just too hot in the day and it's too cold at night and there seems to be nothing else around you and nowhere you can go? And God said, the desert will bloom again. David was a little boy out tending the sheep. He wasn't the shepherd. He was tending the sheep. And there's a difference. But as we start tending the sheep in church, pretty soon God makes us a shepherd. And David goes down to see his brothers to take him some things to eat. And they said, what are you hiding behind the rocks for? And they said, because there's this big giant out here. He wants somebody to fight him. And David said, nobody will fight him. The battle's God's. A child shall lead them. Sometimes we can learn a lot by listening to our kids pray or our grandkids pray. They have a faith like we ought to have. David said, I'll fight him. The king said, well, put on my armor. Isn't it something that every time we want to do something for God, somebody wants to weigh us down? Every time we want to walk by faith, we have somebody coming up with instructions. If you're going to do this, I remember when I was called to preach, and I went home and I told everyone that I was called to preach. I had about 12 adults told me what I ought to do if I'm called to preach. Did I listen? Probably not. I wasn't good at that. But he was in a desert land. And he took those stones. And as that stone let loose from that slingshot, the Holy Spirit got it and put it right where it belonged. And the giant fell. Because God says the desert will bloom again. But he said, you got to see it's by me, not by you. It's what I'm going to do, not what you're going to do. During the worst time in the history of the world, and the Roman Empire was ruling the world and running the world, and the Jewish nation was under bondage, the religious leaders weren't believers, they were political leaders. Along came this baby to a young lady named Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And God said, the desert's going to bloom again. Jesus was born and lived, and they laid him down on the ground. They put nails in his feet, and they put nails in his hands. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And Satan said, I got him. I got him. The religious leaders did that. I have the church. I have the political leaders. I've got everything. Nothing that he can do now. Then they lifted up that cross and dropped it in that hole. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. They shouldn't have lifted him up. When you lift up Jesus, people's going to come. When you lift up Jesus, the desert's going to bloom. When you lift up Jesus, you're going to see your entire life change. I was in Israel. And the desert that Jesus, that Isaiah was talking about was between the mountains off of the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River. And when you look down over that, it was just barren land, nothing. No water, no rain, just dead. When I was there, I stood on the mountain and looked down, and it looked like Northwest Ohio. Everything was green. God said the desert will bloom again. They learned how to irrigate from the Jordan River. There are plenty of the water running off the Golan Heights down into the Sea of Galilee, feeding the Jordan River. And they could take all the water they wanted off of it because it went into a dead sea anyway. God said, I've already prepared a way. And I'm going to tell you this, Heritage. You're going to see not only the attendance that we had, you're going to see a bigger attendance than we've had. Because you're more dedicated than you were 2 years ago. Because you've been in the desert and you're tired of being in the desert. I'm tired of being in the desert. I can't do my job. without the people here. Michael can't do his job without the people here. Bonnie can't do her job without the people here. Jason can't do his job without the people here. We are working at a handicapped, and God said the desert's going to bloom again. I see it. But who are we? Are we the church of yesterday? We're not the church of yesterday. We can't do things the way they did them when I was young. Neither are we the church of the future, because we're not there. We are all we've got. This is the church. Look around. This is the church. It isn't yesterday how they did things. It isn't tomorrow how they're going to do things. We take what we have today and we build, and the desert will bloom. I'm going to tell you a little story that I hesitate to tell. I like music, but I'm a classical music guy. If I listen to music on the radio, I like to listen to classical music. I love a violin more than any instrument. I could listen to a single violin. I can listen to the 10 violins. I just love, if I go to an orchestra, I watch the violinist and the but I also like the guitar. My dad played the guitar. My grandmother played the piano, my grandmother Fry. Never had any lessons. She played by ear. She told my grandpa when she got married, when we have children, all of our kids are going to take music lessons. There were 10 kids. Two died when they were children. Black plague. Got my dad's little brother. Dad said he used to take him by the hair and push him to school. I don't know how families live through that, losing a couple kids within a year or two's time. But they did. When my dad's family got together, my dad played the guitar and my aunt played the piano and my uncle played the violin and everybody played something. But my granddad was a perfectionist. He mowed his grass with a lawnmower that didn't have a motor on it. He didn't have a suit coat on, but he did wear his vest and white shirt when he mowed his grass. He was an old gentleman. So he sent my dad to Gattuso's to take guitar lessons when he was a boy. Dad took guitar lessons, learned how to play the guitar. He played the guitar in high school, and he played it his entire life. But Dad played different than all the other people played their guitars. I didn't know it until I got to be 12 or 13 years old. And I went with my dad down to an old man's house that lived just around the corner from us. He didn't have any electricity. He only had coal oil lamps. He didn't have a bathroom. He had an outside toilet. And one fellow had a violin, another had a mandolin, another had, there were six or eight of them there. And I remember sitting there and I was on wooden chairs and one guy said, "Eddie, do that with your guitar that you do." For Dad play his guitar many times. I knew he was good. I knew he had a Martin and he had a Gretsch. He had good guitars. But see, my dad didn't chord a guitar. My dad played the notes on a guitar. That was different than the way they did it, that group that he played with. So it was something new. And they sat back and they listened to my dad like they had never heard anything like that before. Now, let me shock you. Any of you heard of Eddie Van Halen? Anybody heard of Eddie Van Halen? Okay. I like him. He's dead now. He played in the 70s. Never liked his band. But if I could hear him play his solos, I would listen to him play his solos. My dad didn't like him very well because he played different than my dad did. He had this pecking that he did. And he didn't just fret the guitar with his right hand. He also used two fingers on his left hand to do it. So the sound was completely different than what was known by any guitar player ever. I liked that. I was young. It was different. It was new. Things were changing. From the time of Eddie Van Halen, there's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of guitar players that started playing like him. You know how he learned to do that? The electrical instruments were coming out, and he didn't have enough money to buy one, so he had to make his guitar sound like he had one. So he would sit there and use his fingers. And you couldn't tell whether he was fretting with his right or left hand. Most of the time, it was both of them. And then he would peck it. What I'm telling you is things change. The younger people will catch on to it, and us older people will shut it off. But God never changes. So it doesn't matter if we praise God to "How Great Thou Art," or we praise God to one of the newer songs that says, "How Great Thou Art, God." There's no difference in the message. The message remains the same. You look back and you look at my dad's Gretsch guitar that would be hanging on the wall. My nephew has it. Or you look at his old Martin guitar and you look at Van Halen's guitars. They're still guitars. They look alike. God says the desert will bloom again. But we are not yesterday's church, and we are not tomorrow's church. Today, this community, this area needs a church. And they need Christians sold out for God. And if we are sold out for Him, we will give more, we will do more, we will work harder, and we will come to church excited about who God is. Do you realize if Satan can get your mind, God can't use you? If I came up here and I thought, Terry and I were fighting, and I'm just angry. We don't fight and we don't get angry over that, so I'm just using an excuse. So I come up here and I look, I ain't going to draw anybody to Christ because I've allowed the flesh to overcome who I am. If we want to see the desert bloom again, we've got to give God control of the desert. We've got to submit ourselves unto it. That means that we need to work more, we need to give more, we need to be more dedicated, we need to make sure that our friends are in church, we need to make sure that Sunday is a church day. Yes, we're going to go back to one service. Yes, I look for a church to be full when we do, or close to it. But you don't have to wait until we go back to one service, come back to church. We can come right now. I don't know what desert you're going through. I don't know your personal problems, your personal needs. But Isaiah said, boy, it seems like all really strange for someone to say the desert will bloom. Doesn't it? and I was in Arizona. What in the world can make anything grow here? And you know what? God can. What's going to bring us out of what we've been through in the last 2 years? God will. But He won't if we do not submit unto Him. And when we submit unto Him, He'll add the water, He'll add the fertilizer, He will give us everything we need in order to see this rose come back into the desert. That's what I want. That's what you should want. But we should want it so much. It's like the young man that was out with a multimillionaire. And he said, how do you make money? I want to know. They were fishing. And the millionaire said, I can show you. He said, step in the water here with me. And he stepped into the water and he held the boy underwater. And the boy was splashing and kicking and he's holding him underwater. Finally, he let him up. He said, what'd you do that for? He said, you wanted to know how you get rich? You got to want it as much as you wanted that breath. You want to know how to get God's blessing? You got to want it as much as you got that breath. That's how you get it. It isn't just that you add God to your portfolio. You add God to your schedule. God is your schedule. God is your portfolio. Everything else is second. He's the priority. The desert will bloom again. Let's stand. The desert will bloom again. You just wait and see. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. Lord, we know the church is here. We know that we haven't lost, but we've gained. Help us to put it together in the manner that you want it together. Help us, Lord, to do the things that you want us to do. And that's not always the things that we necessarily want to do. But help us to follow your spirit. And for that, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us and have a blessed day.